It is again with a grateful heart that I bring you greetings in the precious name of Jesus Christ my Lord, desiring above all else that honor and glory be lifted up unto the great God of heaven, his Son Jesus Christ, through God the Holy Spirit. We do seek to honor him always in that expression of his persons unto us, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And thus to set forth the glorious gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is God manifest in the flesh, and wherein salvation is declared unto men. Thus it is that we are to understand the connection. We would extol his virtues. We would extol the sovereignty of God. We would set forth in no uncertain terms that it is he that is to be worshipped and not we ourselves. It is his will and purpose that we are to bow to. It is to his glory that we are to seek. And this is to be done through his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that is the expression is complete. This our Lord prayed on the eve of his crucifixion. And this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. And so it is, without hesitation, that we declare, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none of the name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And so what a delight it is to report to you that there is mercy with the Lord. Mercy, not reward in the sense that men normally want to think about it. I often hear men say, well, so-and-so in their passing has gone on to his reward. And the idea and being in mind that somehow or another he has earned his place in heaven. But the fact is that, yes, there is a reward, but it is because of the merits of Jesus Christ, not of those that we might earn unto ourselves. There is none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Nothing that man can produce of himself is worthy of acceptance with God. It is only that which comes through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so, in that all are discovered ruined, depraved, incapable, I bid you fall upon his mercy. Look to him. Mercy is when God does not give us what we deserve. And so look to his mercy. Look to his deliverance. You have nothing to recommend yourself unto his favor. But what a delightful message is preached. I would preach unto you, most certainly, you must be born again. There is no such thing as salvation apart from life in the Lord Jesus Christ, and it is the Son who quickens whomsoever he wills. And so again, go to him, fall upon his mercy. You say, well, if I have to be born again, you do what you're told. That's the whole issue here in no uncertain terms. And so it is that I would bring a message to you of hope, a message to you of resurrection, a message to you of the justification by faith, of mercy and grace as it is in Christ Jesus our Lord. It is, and today is Resurrection Day. That is the day that we traditionally observe the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Easter is a word that is derived out of a pagan term. But the fact is that the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, not only is it honored just on this one day of the year, but it is a matter of continuous honor by those who know the Lord, those who believe on him, those who trust in him. You say, how so, preacher? I say it because of this. The life that we now have in us is that which has come about because of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So inasmuch as we are being found alive in him, it is because of his resurrection from the dead and because of that faith wherein we're able to lay hold on the truth that he has died, has accomplished our salvation, has finished the work that the Father gave him to do, and that he has risen, he has ascended back into heaven, he is seated at the right hand of power on high, and he is coming again. Now, having said that, I'm wishing you, of course, a happy holiday season. I will move on then to the Word of God. And I want to take you today to 1 John chapter 1 and that aim and that which we should realize in having benefited from the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to read this first chapter of 1 John to you. It's 10 verses, and there's much that is important there, and we're going to address one verse, but we will look at others as we go along. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This, then, is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. And may God bless the reading of his word. May we understand it as being the inspired and preserved word of God given unto us this day. And so I pray that it would be made effectual in the heart of all you that hear these words. Now, as we come to this and you say, okay, you talked a while ago about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that which we have been made to understand concerning that. But I want to take today this text, and these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Certainly it is to be understood then that we have two things here. The apostolic declaration of John brings us in touch with both the material existence of Christ, that is, that he was a real man, and likewise, that mystical relationship, that is, the fellowship that we know with him. He's not bodily with us right now. He is spiritually with us. We are in touch with him. He dwells in us, and we in him, and it is an experienced life. It's not something that you just talk about, that you just claim it and through some false authority, but it is rather that whereby we are made to understand, made to experience, made to sense his presence and to live with him and he with us, being conscious of his presence and having accomplished his will and his purpose in us. It is therefore in this and in these things that we may realize that matter of full joy. What a precious delight it is indeed that we might be able to deal in such a manner as this, that while many portray the thoughts of religion as being a circumstance wherein there is great difficulty and that it's all about sadness and we have to give up all the happy things of life and all of this that somehow or another the world, as they look at the life of a believer, they see the things that believers do not do or do not wish to practice. And this is not to say that believers are without sin. This passage tells us that. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. When the truth is in us, not only, though, is that sin detected, it is despised, it is hated. And when it occurs, we are driven to confess our sins, recognizing that He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But the world looks at such a life as this and thinks it to be something that just simply is unacceptable. That, wait a minute, there's too many things I have to give up. I want to live life to the fullest. You only go around once. I want to get all I can out of it. Well, the fact of the matter is, all of those things are perishing. In the end result, there will be no joy associated with them. It is such a thing as man experiences momentary thoughts of what he believes to be is delight. But in the end result, the sparks are fall away and there's nothing but ashes left. It's all gone. It's destroyed. Whereas the hope of the true believer is an ever-growing, ever-increasing thing, ever-delightful thing in prospect. But here's the important thing that John is talking about. He is not saying here that these things write we unto you, that your joy might be full sometime, but rather is that you would lead a life and live a life and experience a life with Christ that means full joy all along the way, just as full as it possibly can be. In that first John, or the first chapter of John, rather, the gospel, he there talked of the fullness of Christ in us, of his fullness we have all received. And so this is that thought that he is picking up on here. He is writing to a specific group of people, but we are the beneficiaries because his word has been miraculously preserved for us down to this present time. So John declares purpose here, incorporating both the divine purpose, but also his personal purpose and that of the other apostles. My friend, I could desire nothing more, nothing better for you than that you might know the joy that I know, that all true believers know, that even in the face of the most dire circumstances in this world, that believers are still able to know joy in the presence of the Lord. Oh, there are those times, there is no question. I read of David in the Old Testament, and he chides his own soul. Oh, my soul, why art thou disquieted? Why art thou cast down in me? And then said, hope thou in God. But we see that same thing, that same desire, even as those times perhaps of losing sight of or drifting away or falling into a circumstance wherein there might be difficulty. Then we understand some of these things that he went through, because restore unto me, he would pray in another place, the joy of thy salvation. He wasn't talking about something that was going to happen when he died. He was talking about something that he would experience right now. And so joy then becomes an important thing. And we sometimes think of joy, well, why should I be happy? Look at what Jesus suffered. Jesus suffered so that we might be happy. But not just happy, ha-ha, but happy in those things, or blessed is the word that often is put in that place, realizing the accomplishments of Him within us, that we have new life in us, that we are made new creations in Christ Jesus, and therefore able to enjoy the things of God. Now, the world can't enjoy them. I could say to unregenerate sinners until I'm blue in the face. The happiness for you would be to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're going to look at me and says, that makes no sense whatsoever. They cannot relate to it. Again, I declare unto you, you must be born again. It is through that new life in the Lord Jesus Christ that we have it. If indeed the Lord would move in your heart and say to you, but I am so sad, I am so broken, I am so down, my sins are coming over me, I am being overwhelmed by a sense of condemnation, and you fall upon his mercy, oh my, that joy is not far away. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. These things we have through Jesus Christ our Lord. Men see purpose from a perspective of personal gratification. Where true joy does exist, there is gratification in the purpose of God and his glory. It becomes a joy that we have. It was the such things as I could relate to as often in the course of raising my children, when I was able to witness their successes, witness their blessedness, that there was great joy that came to me. It was like, it's my joy. It's them that is experiencing the accolades, but it's my joy that they're doing that. But turn that situation around, not as I look at children, but as I look at my Heavenly Father, as I look at the Lord Jesus Christ, as I see him proclaim victory over death, hell, and the grave in his resurrection from the dead and his ascension back into glory. What am I delighting in? I don't have to go to hell. No, I am delighting that my Lord is exalted, that he is lifted up. And such a delight as that is, the world just doesn't get it. They just don't understand it. But this is the true delight of believers. The joy of the believer is a gift of the Spirit and is complete as to the reason of his existence. Full means complete, that your joy may be complete. Now, we can talk about bubbling over. We can talk about, for example, the 23rd Psalm, when David talks about that my cup runneth over. And I've heard people talk about their happiness and say, oh, my cup is full. It's just running over. And that may be true. But joy is complete when indeed it has Jesus Christ fully in view. We can think of the experience of joy and we can think of the object of joy. The experience of joy is what we may sense, but the object of that joy, what brought that about, what made that sense of completeness, was the assurance that Jesus Christ has accomplished all that he set out to do, that salvation is done. It has been brought full circle. And indeed, we just simply wait being brought into that fullness, if you will, wherein we throw off this old body, wherein we throw off the old nature is forever then gone, and we are living in purity and in pure holiness and in pure delight and in ever increasing joy and knowing the peace which passeth understanding to the fullest extent. And so the fact is that with men, joy, as I've already alluded to, is fleeting at best. It lacks substance, has no lasting object. Hey, let's go do so-and-so, and we have a good time, and then it's over. And you say, then what? And you come back, you try to pull it back. Yeah, oh, I remember that. Boy, we had a good time, didn't we? But you can't bring it back, and it's never going to come back. And when we come down to die, the worldly joy, so to speak, will have no meaning, no consequence. There will be no comfort to be found there. There will be no delight in anything. All will be doom and desolation. And so joy, feelings of great happiness or pleasure, that's the way it is defined. That time especially, an elevated or a spiritual kind. When we talk of happiness, we talk of delight. It's mentioned 155 times in the King James Version of the Bible. Certainly, it is pleasurable in comparison to sorrow. But of design of the Lord is that which is expressed of God. And compare this, John 15:11. Jesus said to his disciples, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full." Now, what about the joy of Christ? Well, we read it in the book of Hebrews, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and is set down forever at the right hand of God on high. He, that joy that was set before him, what is that joy? Sin conquered, his people delivered from this present evil world, ultimately his people to be where he is, and that is his aim. What should be our aim? And again, we put ourselves in that position of thinking only in terms of such as that is, and that we realize in no uncertain terms that this joy is not the joy of this world. It's not a joy that could be explained. It's not a joy that could be pointed out and say, well, you know, when you do this and when you do that, when we look on the face of him who loves us, when we think, when we read of the great accomplishments, when we read of his mighty acts, when we read of the things that are promised, when we see and when we understand and we recognize that this is for me, this is what he is talking about, this he is bringing to pass, and to marvel at the fact that God could delight in the likes of me, and yet for reasons that we shall never know, he sets his love upon a people, has done so from all eternity. I've loved thee with an everlasting love, and therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. And thus this precious realization that we are in this kind of a relationship with God, with his Son Jesus Christ, through the operations of God the Holy Spirit. And these things are real. These things are brought to life. It is there we experience the love of God. Paul writes of it in Romans chapter 5, which is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And so, what a beautiful picture that we have here. And he said, it's your, John is talking about these things. He talks about our joy. And that which we've seen and heard, that you may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ, in the verse before. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. And so some see the word your as better translated our. In other words, when he is saying, here these things write we unto you, that your joy, some translators would call it our joy. Doesn't make any difference, because it still comes to be my joy and John's joy. And so this John is expressing his joy, desiring that our joy might be his, like his, and might have the same objective, that is the delight of fellowship with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And so the first would direct John's thoughts to his audience, while the second might direct it to him and the other apostles. And so perhaps we see the hour as including both. In any event, the purpose is clear. The delight of the apostles is often expressed at believers coming to the knowledge and experience of the truth. The apostle Paul wrote concerning the Philippians whom he dearly loved and said, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. The joy of the believer is from comprehending the person of Christ, his love, and his work, and realizing personal interest in those things. And so, the term full means complete. Perhaps he's referring to a way of life. The thought of full, as I said a while ago, it's not just bubbling over, but it is complete. It has everything in place so that it may be continuously experienced. It would rather seem that it is complete and being supplied to bring it to the ultimate experience and thus to continue it, to sustain it forevermore. And so as we think in terms of those things, there are many precious thoughts that come to mind, that your joy may be full, and understanding the nature of their relationship to and acceptance with God. Do you ever think about this? If you know the Lord today, do you ever marvel at the fact that God accepted me? God welcomes me into His presence. Many look upon it as, well, that's God's obligation. Well, I'm just glad I let Him do it. No. He overcome impossible obstacles in order to bring you into a relationship with Himself. He sent His only begotten Son to die for your wretched sins and mine. And to, if that is, if you know Him, and you have no assurance outside of that. But when indeed we're brought to know that I am accepted in the Beloved, to know that we are recipients of the adoption, that is, we have brought into the full realization of being co-heirs with Christ, of being brought to the establishment of Him being the elder brother and our inheritance being made that to exist with Him. The realization that my sins have been forever pardoned and they are forgiven. Oh, those horrible things of my past continually raise up their ugly heads and accuse me. But then I am made to realize, wait a minute, as far as the east is from the west, so far they removed my transgressions from me. And when I know that, oh my, to understand that I have been sanctified by the Spirit of God, that I have received a new nature, made a new creation. Now, this is not an old patched up previous existence. That part just simply is irretrievable. But I am a new creation in Christ. My soul has been made newly alive with that which is from above. The prospect of the glory to be fully received at the coming of our Lord. We live not long, we long, yeah, and it's been a while, and it may be longer, but that's okay. He is coming again, and the nearness of that thought is always there. So it's just as good if it's 10 years from now, 100 years from now, 1,000 years from now, still good. The prospect of glory to be fully received at the coming of our Lord. The reason of joy is ever before us, and the purpose of the apostles and their joy is fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, there is no hope outside of Christ. It must be in what He has accomplished through the shedding of His own blood on Calvary's cross. It is His desire that we be brought before Him, ultimately through repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ, and then to joy forevermore. And may indeed that joy be yours. Fall upon His mercy just now. There's hope in no other.
Surety stands before the throne, my surety stands. My name is written on His hands.
Thank you for listening. It's our delight to bring the gospel of God's free and sovereign grace to you. These broadcasts are also posted on our website at www.riversidebaptistchurchwb.org. We at the Riverside Baptist Church cordially invite you to attend our services at 10 and 11 on Sunday and at 6:30 on Wednesday. We're grateful for the support of the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church of Gallagher, West Virginia. Their services are at 10:30 and 6 on Sunday. And now may the Lord bless you is our prayer.
Some sinner die, my God is reconciled. His pardoning voice I hear. He owns me for His child. I can no longer fear. With confidence I now draw nigh. With confidence I now draw nigh and fall.